Blog Talk Radio.
To the 110 Nation Sports Show. I am your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow me at Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. Glad to be back. Oh, my Lord. It's been a minute. Glad to be back in the Carolina Sports Plus studio. I want to thank all the followers, listeners, subscribers, everybody, for hanging in there, hanging out while we had some things to take care of. I was out for a few weeks due to my son being in town from North Carolina. No thanks to work, I guess is a better way to word it. The 8 weeks he was here, I got to spend maybe 2 weeks with him. So the last three Wednesdays, I was out of commission, a couple of them, Kings Island, another one we was hiking or camping, then come back and work, and there was health issues amongst the members and everything, so we needed to take time to kind of recuperate and get back in the studio, but glad to be back, glad to have Mario back. I'm going to go ahead and get him in the studio before I make a few announcements, reveals a few things that are going on here at the 110 Nation, and then getting into tonight's show. So without any further ado, delay, Mario, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Glad to be back on this Wednesday. Glad to be back.
Yes, yes, yes. Sounds like you are doing much, much better there, sir.
Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am. It's been an eventful 2 weeks, but I'm glad to be back and glad to be talking sports.
Me too. I'm so glad. I'm so glad and so eager to do this. And a lot of things going on behind the scene. Before we get to things going on behind the scenes at this end, let's talk about things going up that end. Carolina Sports Plus, talk a little bit about what's going on, what has gone on, okay, what is going on, what's coming up soon.
Okay.
And I seen we got 9923. I know you know what that means.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about that. And if I'm not also mistaken, I've seen a video clip of someone else that just recently, I want to say he won that match.
Yes, he did.
Let's go ahead and get into that real quick.
Okay. Carolina Sports Plus has been busy. First off, so I'd like starting off by congratulations to Michael Williams Jr. He's a boxer of ours. He's currently 21-1. He had a TKO Saturday night in Fayetteville. He was boxing at home. So congratulations to him and everybody who came out and supported. We also got another boxer on the list coming up. His fight is September 9th, Angel Munoz in Rock Hill, South Carolina. He's currently 3-0 with 3 knockouts. So there's some good things going on. But overall, Carolina Sports has been busy. We're coming up at the end of this month. We'll be at the fair in Cumberland County, so that's always a good thing. And you can catch us online at CarolinaSportsPlus.com. And follow us on social media on Carolina Sports Plus on Instagram and Facebook.
this side of the woods here, we got some things going mm-hmm. on too. Yeah, I might go there with that. I hadn't filled out my sheet all the way yet anyway. First thing out the gate, they mm-hmm. reached out to us. I was surprised when I got the email. Actually, a couple people have reached out to us. It's odd when I'm doing 10, 15, 20 videos a week. We're pumping out 2-3 shows a week, whatever the case may be, everything going on. I don't hear from nobody. We take a month-long mm-hmm. break, and all of a sudden I hear from everybody. Second group of people in chronological order to reach out to me, but the first one we'll talk about is Amazon. We are now broadcasting our podcast on Amazon Music and Audible. They reached out to me, sent me an email, wanted to add us to their podcast section on their presence there. So glad to be part of that. Glad to be able to mm-hmm. expand our fan base once again.
Yep.
So right now, as of now, you can find us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, YouTube, now Amazon Music and Audible, amongst many others without having to pull it up in front of my face. What other ones am I missing there? Spreaker. Can't believe I missed Spreaker. Stitcher, Podcast Addicts, Deezer, Podchaser, amongst many places. And you can just go to www.the110nationsportsradionetwork.com. Get all the blogs, get all the shows over there, get the show schedules, which will lead me to the next announcement. I have not put that on there yet. But this Monday, myself and Chris Yellow Caution Flag Creighton will be joining forces to bring a new show called the 110 Nation Race Chat Live. Exclusive. Almost forgot the key ingredient word to that. We will have other members of the 110 Nation helping out. If I don't show, I'm unable to attend, or he's unable to attend, we'll reach out and see who wants to come in and be part of this. Monday night, 8 o'clock, we are going to have different drivers, different athletes on the show. And basically, it's a 30-minute show. We'll spend about 5-10 minutes going through promos and talking about the shows that we got going on. And we'll spend the last 20 minutes with our guest and just kind of get to the point. It's a show that's going to be geared and featured more towards just doing interviews, getting to know these different drivers, athletes, promoters, crew members, whatever the case may be. It's something that I have missed. I have thought about doing a second show for a while. Didn't know if we was going to have the backing, if we was going to have the guests. I wanted to be more geared towards doing interviews. For those that have listened to the 110 Nation for a long time, there was one kind of time that two, if not three, but usually two nights a week, we had 3-hour shows. I think we were doing 2 or 3-hour shows, and we would have 2, 3, 4 guests on a show. We would keep a full house when it came to guests on the shows. We kind of got away from that, just things going on in personal lives, 110 Nation lives, and it kind of just pulled back from all that. Well, fortunately for us, that was the other email, the other group of people that reached out to us. We had another group reach out to us that wanted us to bring on a current – well, it's not a current. They are still in the racing circuit, in the racing world, was a NASCAR driver. We'll be driving, I think, the Xfinity Series here sometime this month. We'll be coming back on Race Chat Live later on after that.
Mm-hmm.
Was a former, I want to say, ARCA Series champion. They reached out and wanted to see, and he's also running for a political position. Wanted to know if we wanted to have him on the show. Of course, we wanted to. And so not this Monday, but the previous Monday, Austin, I'm not even jack up his last name, starts with a Z, came on the show. They had him on, had a great interview. I thanked their PR. and let them know anytime, you know, they want anybody to come on or, you know, had anything for us, let us know. And almost instantly I got an email back, and there was about six or seven more drivers that we got in, on deck, were ready to go. So turn that information over to Miss Lee, who's been with the 110 Nation for about 10 years now. She used to schedule all my guests in the day. Turn the information over to her, and so Monday night she will be scheduling guests for us to have and sit and interview, have conversations with every Monday night. So looking forward to that. It's the 110 Nation Race Chat Live exclusive, and little peek underneath the umbrella or curtain or whatever you want to call it. We'll work on doing a little merch to be given out as well with the stuff that Carolina Sports Plus has given us, so we can promote both of us with a little bit of free giveaways and shirts as well. I'm giving up on finally getting the cups, so we're going to move on to get some shirts out there. I will post later on our Facebook page. You've already seen it on the shirt. Mm-hmm. I like the design, our logo for that shirt. The goal is to eventually get shirts for this show, shirts for the Race Chat Live, even a shirt for, because I really like the logo of the TV series, the YouTube series we have. There's Only One Nation. I really like that logo as well. I'd like to get that on a shirt as well. But I'm going to constantly work on getting shirts for us to have to wear to help promote all the shows, the network, and everything else. Because obviously we're going to continue to grow here 12 years into this. So it's very exciting. I have freed up my time. There's no more door dashing for me. So outside of staffing, which I am finally fully staffed, my assistant manager actually comes back this Saturday. She's been gone the last 10 days. That was another issue with me not and us not doing a show, was my schedule and being tired. But looking forward to, A, getting back to doing more videos, getting back to having time to spend on doing the 110 Nation, working on reaching out and getting more guests, more promos, working on the website. Just a lot more time has been freed up for me. It is crazy because it's the exact opposite of everything going on in my house. Mario comes from a house that's got a wife and kids and things and aren't entrepreneurs, and I'm sure you guys probably have sports going on and everything else. That's the same thing going on here. The youngest just started soccer, so you're looking at soccer two nights a week, and then games on the weekend. The oldest, he does soccer as well. That's two nights out of the week right out the gate. The daughter, she works, and then she also does Explorers, like the junior cop stuff. So there's a couple nights out of the week, well, multiple days out of the week counting work. You got a game plan around her 4-hour, 5-hour shifts. Then wife is a full-time, she volunteers full-time Sundays and Wednesdays at the church. And then she does a whole other ministry that she's involved with that they're growing. So that's a whole other day there. And the daughter's also homeschooling this year, so a lot going on here. But I have freed up my time. So Wednesdays until the time changes is a rush. That's why I was running a couple minutes late. The soccer for the oldest goes from 6:30 to 7:30, so I was kind of hustling to get here. Once the time, it starts getting darker earlier, they will shift it, and it'll be like 6 to 7 or 5:30 to 6:30, so it makes it a little bit easier. So Wednesday nights I will be rushed getting in here, I have freed up my time. So there will be a lot more studio time. There will be a lot more website time. There will be a lot more time for us to prep for these shows. So looking forward to it and with the whole new show. So with that being said, I know that was a lot. We got two things we're going to talk about tonight. We got the AFC. We're going to talk about how we think they're going to finish and kind of highlight on different things of every conference. In our thoughts and opinions, I'm going to write these down. I'm going to not only video clip each different one sections we go through, but hopefully turn it into a blog as well to help promote that. And we're going to, I don't even have to say his last name, Michael Oher. Is that how you say his last name? The blindsided.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to jump into, because that's been a thing that has blown up, especially
the last couple of days.
So we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to jump into, originally the only thing I was planning on talking was about the AFC. Next week we'll talk about the NFC as we get ready for the NFL season.
All right.
I don't know everything, but I know a little bit about it a little bit. I've read a little bit. I'm trying to prepare and kind of get caught up. I don't know this dude's financial situation, but to be essentially adopted, they're using a different word, conservator or however, whatever word they're actually using, because when they did it, it was after over 18 years old or whatever. But you went from being homeless to be taken in by a very wealthy family, had an opportunity to have the best life you could possibly had, got to go, and their status kind of helped you get into the college. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from his skill set and what he did on the field, because obviously that contributed a big part. But it also it's good to have a big, a wealthy name that went to that same college to get you in there as well. And you played in the NFL, opportunities you probably wouldn't have gotten if this family wouldn't have took you in. Now, this is kind of where the reports get a little bit different, according to the attorney of the family. They've split anything as came in, and according to him, I think he's saying that they adopted him so they could have financial rights to everything, which I'm not going to say it's not possible or right, but I'm also going to say for a family that's very well off and own many restaurants, whatever the case will be, I find it hard to believe that was their alternative motive. My big question about all this, Mario, and I could be left field, but I don't know his situation. Did he go through all his money in the NFL, and is this an opportunity to try it? We know many athletes, and MC Hammer is a big one everybody knows, blow through all their money.
Yeah.
Is this one of those situations where he has blown all of his money, and now he's trying to flip the script because he's broke? Or, I mean, what is your opinions on this? Because I just find it kind of weird. You were given basically every opportunity you wouldn't have got. You got to make millions of dollars in the NFL, and then many years later, after all this has been said and done, now you have an issue like you're complaining, like you're out of money and trying to find a way. Like I said, I don't know the situation. I've not found any details. That's kind of what I was reading into to try to find that. I just find it odd that you were pretty much given – I'm not going to say given because you're obviously gifted enough athletes. You played in the NFL, but the path was paved to make it where this was possible and wouldn't have been possible, more than likely. I might say it wouldn't have never happened without the assistance of this family. And now, years after all this has happened, now it's an issue.
No. My personal opinion, straight up opinion, I want to say, you know, I got a lot of respect for him. You know, he played for the Panthers when we went to the Super Bowl. But it does sound like a little shakedown. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, I don't know what's up with his financial money. You know what I mean? I understand once he got out the NFL, you know, he lost a lot of weight, slimmed down, you know, and it does sound like a shakedown. That family did good things for him. I just honestly don't believe that, you know, all of a sudden years later that all of this just pops up and I wasn't getting any money. I wasn't getting anything in return about the film, because I remember when the Super Bowl was on and they kept showing interviews about the film with him, and there was no fuss then, you know. So it does sound like a money grab. But, you know, who knows?
And it's funny, because even in his book, he talked about they basically did this to make it official, something they already knew that they were family. So it kind of contradicts itself. And it's not like this family knew back when they adopted him, which was a little bit after he was 18 years old. or even when they took him in, that he would go to the NFL and be a, and make millions of dollars. I don't know. I just
and
obviously
it's
something
time,
we're
going to
get.
Yeah. With today's time, you know, with the racial card issue, you know, with the NFL, with money issue, you know, it just all clashes in the times that we're in. You know what I mean? But I honestly think it's a money shakedown. You know, maybe he broke and he figured that he deserves more money for the film. You understand what I'm saying? Than he actually got.
Now, I will say the memes that I have seen, though, man, they've been off the chain.
Hilarious.
Regardless, he was right in the situation, and all of them have been kind of one-sided in favor of him. And I think that's got to do with more of the social media, and that seems to be the trend. If you're on social media, you're kind of favoring that side. But like I said, I don't know the details. I'm not trying to take sides. I'm not saying one side is right or the other.
Same thing. I don't want the listeners to think that.
It kind of fishy to me.
Yeah, iffy.
Excuse me.
It sounds iffy. It sounds really iffy and suspect. You know, we're all grown in 2023. You know, it just sounds a little bit iffy. If you bring your facts, if you bring some paperwork or something, then they're more than welcome to change sides and say he was right. But right now, it just sounds iffy.
I can see if this was a broke family that had nothing, and he was already graduated, but they were a very, very wealthy family. Took him in while he was still in high school. Like, there are just too many of these things that don't make sense. And he had nothing to say throughout his college career, his professional career, and even for the so many years since he's retired, and now all of a sudden this issue, just none of it makes sense to me. But I'm sure this is something that we'll continue to keep updated on, keep continuously looking into. Next week we'll be talking about the NFC, and I'm sure this is something, a conversation we'll be able to continue on and talk more about next week as well. As things unravel, I just read one story. I've seen different opinions and thoughts, and it's interesting to me, but seems kind of off the chain as well. But anyway, this week we're going to talk about the AFC. We're going to talk about how we feel each division is going to finish, who we think from the AFC side is going to go. Highlight some different things about each division. If it'd be about my Browns or Aaron Rodgers with the Jets or Sean Payton coaching the Denver Broncos this year, just different things that we're going to focus on and talk about. And then next week we will do the same thing with the NFC as we prepare for the NFL. That's two great things about the no more DoorDash thing. Today we did an upgrade. When I moved in with the wife, she had the $10 access plan from AT&T. Had to do with her losing her husband, her ex, her previous husband, and not having the finances. And so they had the bare minimum $10 plan, which is 10 megabytes. I don't know if anybody knows anything about internet. That was also an issue and hard to keep up with a lot of things. 10 megabytes doesn't go very far. As a matter of fact, we switched over to MetroNet today, who their basic plan is 100 megabytes, and they're talking about streaming four items at the same time, at basic service. And so we switched over, went from 10 megabytes, and now we skipped over the 100 megabytes. Wife's like, we probably get away with 100 megabytes. And I said, how do you figure? I'm like, it says basic service for stream on four or five things. I said, on any given moment, there's like four TVs on here. And I'm not going to talk about the five phones that are on. I'm not going to talk about the fact when I do shows, I have a laptop and a computer on. I'm not going to talk about the fact that when you're doing your ministry stuff, you got a laptop on. We're not going to talk about the fact that the daughter's homeschooled, so she's going to be on a laptop all day. I was like, we need much more than 100 megabytes. So we were going to do the 500 megabytes. And I looked at the price, and I'm like, you know what? For $10 more, I can get a whole gigabyte and be twice as fast. So I'm hoping this will also help with everything we got going on here, because now we've gone from 10 megabytes to a whole gigabyte of internet speed. So looking forward to that. But back to my original point, it kind of led me to that, because the upgrade in service makes it better to watch the games. You have no idea how many times I've sat here and tried to watch football games that were blurry and distorted because we didn't have enough service. And even after I told people to turn things off because it was distorting the internet service, I still wasn't seeing good. But that is another good thing about no more door dashing. I will be able to sit here and watch college football all day Saturday, except when I have the honey to-do list, and all day Sunday. There's not too much of a honey to-do list on Sunday because the wife's usually gone morning and evening with church stuff, so the house is usually to myself on Sundays. So looking forward to us being right around the corner from not only the NFL season, but college football as well. Mario, we're going to jump into the AFC East to start off with.
All right.
I have written here who and how I think they're going to finish. We're going to start from the bottom up, how we think this is going to play out in the AFC East. Mm-hmm. My fourth and final place team is the New England Patriots.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I don't have a lot of confidence in the Patriots. I just don't think that there's a lot of pieces out there. Mac Jones has not proven anything at this point to me. I mean, hell, he's not even a 3,000-yard rusher. And you're talking 14 touchdowns, 11 interceptions last year. So he's not the most efficient thrower. He's not the most accurate thrower. Granted, you guys went out and got Ezekiel Elliott, but we're on the back end of that career. Nobody visualizes or sees Ezekiel Elliott being a every down back. We can see him short yardage back. We can see him maybe a second and five back, but he's not going to be your every down back. It's past that time for Ezekiel Elliott, who I love. I didn't love him for the Cowboys, but I'm a Buckeye. He's a Buckeye. I like him, Ezekiel Elliott. But let's be honest, there's a lot of miles on that body, and there's more weight on that body than there once was as well. I just don't have a lot of confidence in the New England Patriots. I think we can officially say who made that system. Everybody was wondering, when Tom Brady left, was it really Bill Belichick's system, or was it really Tom Brady's system? Well, we're going to say it's still Bill Belichick's system, but Tom Brady's what made that system work. Ever since the separation, Tom Brady's been in the Super Bowl and been in the playoffs. I don't even think the Patriots have been in the playoffs since the separation. So obviously, either A, the quarterbacks they've had since then just can't play in a system, or B, Tom Brady made that system. Either way, my fourth position, who I think is going to finish at the bottom of the AFC East, is going to be New England Patriots.
I'm kind of on the same page as you. You know, with Jones not having a good year, he had only 2,997 yards last year with 11 picks, but I can sit there and say, you know, without a good offensive coordinator, you know, in your side, in your corner, you know, with the offense that they have, it's kind of like, it just, I don't know. But I feel like they can get back to his rookie year when he threw over 3,800 yards, you know what I mean, with 22 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. You know, that was a good foundation. That was the replacement talk of Tom Brady. You know what I mean? That rookie year. You know, it's kind of looking at it, is his rookie year is going to be his best year, you know, just because of the ups and downs he had last year without an offensive coordinator. But I have them in, last in that division also.
Third, coming out of the AFC East, I have the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. Say things. This is where things might change up. One, I don't have a lot of confidence in Tua's health. The concussions. Concussions are a serious issue. Him and Mac Jones, I feel and I agree with all the reports I've read, are on the hot seat right now. They got to prove, not only does Tua need to prove he can lead his team and get to the top, but also prove that he can stay healthy. That's honestly the most important thing, is that, if he can't prove that he can take a hit and these concussions are going to be a thing, you've made enough money already. Finish your life out and just live off the millions you've already made, and at least live those days with some kind of intactfulness in your brain and not as a noodle and everything else. But that's a big concern with Tua. Also with the Dolphins, the running game, they were 25th in the league. They were pretty much dead last. Your team is relying on a quarterback that his health is a concern, and your rushing attack is not helping. Nobody over 1,000 yards, pretty much almost last in the league. Just not a lot of confidence in the whole offensive side of the ball. And I think that the AFC East has gotten a little bit tougher, especially when it comes to the top two teams versus where the Dolphins were. Jets have not been irrelevant. I think this year they will be, especially the pieces they added. But also, there's no real backup to Tua. Not that I've seen. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I missed anything, but there's really no reliable name behind him. So if he does go down with a concussion, you're kind of left with just hoping that one of these young quarterbacks will do something. And you got Waddle and you got Tyreek Hill. I think that your receiving core, it's got potential, but it's young. You only got two proven veterans on that team, and you're putting a lot of hope that can carry you all the way through the season, not wear down, nobody get hurt. I just feel that that's a lot. Defense is pretty solid. I don't know. My big issue is the whole concussion and Tua staying healthy. Fact that you don't have a run game to kind of help ease that is a big concern to me. Who do you have in the third spot?
Now, who I have, it was kind of a toss-up. Now, the only reason why I have to agree with you with the Dolphins is just because there's no backup. There's no backup to Tua. And I can sit there, if Tua's on the field, they have a good chance of winning a lot of games. You understand what I'm saying? But the key part is when Tua gets hurt. It's not even to the point where if now, it's just when, because everybody's expecting something to happen to Tua where he's going to be out a couple games. Now, who's going to step up? Who's their backup quarterback to step up? And I just don't believe in a quarterback. And that's the only reason why. If he's on that field and he stays healthy, he has great numbers. When I say good numbers, is they really are. But I just can't figure I can't picture Tua staying healthy for a whole year. That's why I have to put Dolphins.
Yeah, a little over 50% throwing, 3,500 yards, 25 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Had a decent year, with the concussion stuff going on.
Exactly.
But
you can't if you don't have your quarterback there in the playoffs. It's just hard for NFL teams to win in the playoffs with a backup quarterback. It's just difficult. It's difficult.
Second I have coming out this division is the Jets. This has been a huge topic. And I know everywhere I looked, most people have the Jets either third or fourth coming out this. Like, there is no confidence in this Jets team at all.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of baffled. Like, is there no confidence in the Jets, or is there no confidence in Aaron Rodgers? Like, or I'm not going to say confidence in Aaron Rodgers. Is there that much hate towards Aaron Rodgers?
No, I think people are really not prepared to sit there and say the Jets are going to do something win yet, just because it's been so long that they haven't. But as far as what's on paper and what's going on, you know, they have a good chance of winning. Their only part is their schedule at the beginning of the year. You know what I mean? Where the teams that they have to face out the gate, they have to win some tough games. But I would like to see the Jets win.
They got a hellified tough schedule. I'm definitely looking forward to that October 8th game at Denver, especially with all the smack talk going on between them already.
Yeah.
I just don't get it, because you got Lazard out there, you got Garrett Wilson, you got Corey Davis, you got a solid receiving core. I think Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State has impressed everybody at the receiving, and that was with having the three worst quarterbacks QBR-wise in the entire NFL. Now, you throw in Aaron Rodgers, you can imagine what Garrett Wilson is going to do. They just signed Delvin Cook in the backfield, so now you've got a solidified running game as well. Not that your running game was all that horrible bad last year, but now you just – well, I'm going to take it back. It was horribly bad. Nobody even hit 500 yards.
Yeah.
But that team was just horrible. But now you added
that's off the play action.
Yeah. So, like – and. Even if something was to happen, worst case scenario, and Aaron Rodgers, which hardly ever gets hurt, not that Zach Wilson is my first choice, but you have somebody that's in the system.
Exactly.
Now you have somebody that has been following in Aaron Rodgers' footsteps all this preseason.
Yep.
So now it's expected to be a better quarterback. I'm not going to say it's going to happen, but I have a little bit more confidence if I'm a Jets.
Yeah.
You have a former first-round pick, a former starter, now being mentored by Aaron Rodgers. If something was to happen, you would like to assume that things got better.
And he actually took on a good role, too, because, you know, just from reports and just seeing that, you know, I think he's really embraced the part of Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the team right now, even though he struggled. He is a first-round pick. But, you know, I think he sees that there's an opportunity to learn here. You know what I mean? But I just don't see – you're going to tell out the gate just because the Jets schedule, you know, starting off, you know, is with the Bills.
Let's be honest. Do you have a choice but to embrace being the backup role and taking that position? Like, you knew that you were pretty much going to be fired. This was kind of your saving grace. Like, if Aaron Rodgers didn't come in, if you even got to be the starting quarterback the next season, that was probably it. You're going to be fired. This was kind of your saving grace. It's now you're going to prolong your career at New York, and you got an opportunity to be mentored by one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, you had no choice but to embrace it. Let's be honest about it now. I mean, from the surface, looks like he's done it gracefully. But did he really have a choice? Like, was there any other option other than to screw yourself royally out of any opportunity anywhere?
I would say this. You know, he'll come in, camp here, camp there, may pick up a team as far as a backup. You know, would a lot of quarterbacks be happy, you know what I mean, as far as taking it the way they did? I don't know, but I feel like it's a good opportunity for him to sit there and learn and listen and see how Aaron Rodgers does it, because he does have talent. The talent part is there. It's just, you know, getting it all together. But I would say as far as in their division, he's the best second string quarterback in that division?
Probably. I don't know if I can argue that one.
I don't see too many points. How many other quarterbacks you think is good enough second string than Wilson? You know, if you actually think about it.
Yeah. I think that, especially that division, I think they could take that claim. I want to assume that you have the Jets at second coming out of the division as well. Then,
I wanted to shake it up. I wanted to shake it up just because I know we was on the same path of picking. You know, I think with the Jets, the Bills. You know, is this going to be the final year or is this going to be the collapse? You understand what I'm saying? Just because they had so many shots at it already, and they still haven't finished. You know what I mean? Is Allen gonna learn from not running the ball and getting beat up like Cam got beat up? Are the running backs? You know what I mean? How they got beat up?
They
is this
doing
his
it.
Year? Yeah.
No.
So
we can go ahead and talk about the Buffalo Bills. We both got them number one. They gonna win the division?
Yeah.
No, they're not gonna win it.
Not
to spoil my pick overall, but I think all roads go through Kansas City.
Until
Andrew Reid
and
Patrick Mahomes is not in Kansas City, I think all roads go through Kansas City.
I agree.
And who I have going to the Super Bowl, I think we'll be surprised by my path getting there. But I think in that division,
you know, even though it's tough, if Tua can stay healthy, I could see maybe three teams from that division going to, you know, with two teams picking up wild cards. If Tua can stay healthy.
Nope.
But I just don't see him staying healthy. That's my only problem. When he's on the field, he's good, but I got the Bills.
Out there or not, two at best. I don't see three of them making it to the playoffs, and we'll talk about that here in a minute as well. Let's travel out west. My fourth team out the west is the Raiders. I have no confidence in the Raiders. I have no confidence in their quarterback situation with Jimmy Garoppolo. He's healthy. He's a good quarterback. I might say he's phenomenal. I'm not going to say he's great, but he's a good quarterback. He's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good game manager. But I have no confidence in him staying healthy and their whole quarterback situation. It seems like this is one of the most dysfunctional organizations in the entire NFL. You thought that them moving from Oakland to L.A., back to Oakland, and then to Las Vegas, at some point they would leave all that behind and start fresh. But it seems that they can't do that. It seems that they carry their baggage with them every time they move. They don't just leave it there to go to the street corner and let the garbage men pick it up and take it away, start fresh. And the Oakland Raiders, well, the Las Vegas Raiders will be the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders will be the Raiders. And I just, I think the other three teams have done a much better job of improving themselves, not only over the God knows how many years, but even this offseason. I think that San Diego's better than themselves. Denver, obviously, even with just the coaching situation, is better than themselves. And Kansas City, I don't know how much you can really better yourselves. You're the Super Bowl champions. But I think you're in a better situation than the Raiders are. I have Oakland. I keep wanting to say Oakland. I have the Raiders as the last place team coming out of the West.
I also agree. I think just their organizational skills as far as overall is not that good, from the ownership going all the way down. You know, that's definitely going to play an effect on the field. But they're last.
All
But they got
next team I have coming out. Next team I have coming out the West is, and I changed this up. I was originally had these two teams flip-flop, but something tells me the changes in one organization is going to outweigh the other organization.
Ooh.
And so, therefore, I slid San Diego down to the third spot.
Okay.
I understand that Justin Herbert throws up a lot of yards, but let's be honest. Back in the day, Drew Bledsoe threw up a lot of yards. Just because you throw up a lot of yards doesn't necessarily always lead to victories. Doesn't mean it's always a positive thing.
Yeah.
When you're throwing the ball 700 times, you're bound to rack up yards. And Drew Bledsoe was big for that. He would throw 50, 60 times a game. Of course, you're going to have a lot of yards because you're throwing a lot of passes.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that that's winning you games. It doesn't mean that you are being proficient in the red zone. For 4,700 yards, 25 touchdowns, not like Herbert threw a lot of interceptions. But your receiving core, I mean, your highest receiver only had 900 yards. 900 yards, 895 yards. You obviously spread the ball around a lot, 800, 700, 700, 700. So you got a lot of targets. Rushing couldn't break 1,000 yards. Defensively, obviously, with Joey Bosa, I saw a thing the other day, or actually it was today, talking about Bosa and his diet, talking about he has to eat 4,000 to 5,000 calories a day. It feels at this point more like a job, trying to consume enough food to be able to maintain the physical physique that he has. I wish I had that problem versus just consuming all this food for no reason. But anyway, I don't know. It's just something about San Diego that it never mounts to a championship. Like, or there's not even been a lot of division titles. Like, you've had Phillip Rivers, you've had LaDainian Tomlinson, you've had a lot of good players, and it just seems like you have a decent season, sometimes a good season, but that's really all you get out of them. I don't know, I'm just not sold on San Diego. I just feels that every year we go into the same cycle, especially every year since Justin Herbert's been out there, so all four years coming out of Oregon. It just seems like every year we go through the same cycle. There's a lot of build-up, San Diego this, San Diego that, San Diego this, and it kind of just falls flat, and San Diego doesn't really do anything. Went 10-8 last year. I mean, it's a winning record, but, I mean, it's barely a winning record. I mean, technically 10-7 with that. They got that loss at Jacksonville on that Saturday night that we watched Jacksonville come back from.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. 20, I think they were down 31 points or whatever, 131-30. And that's what I mean by when I talk about the San Diego Chargers. It's like.
L.A. Chargers.
Those are the things. Yeah, those are the things right there that. Year in and year out, we get used to. You're up, you're winning. I want to say they were up 31-0. They might have been 20. It was something ridiculous that they were up against Jacksonville.
I think it was 27-0 or something like that.
And you, and then you failed.
Yeah.
Like, epic fail. And that's just what you get used to every single year. And so. Until they can prove something other to me, and especially with the coaching change, and I know it's sad, but I think that I have a lot of respect to the coaching situation going on to Denver, and I think that could change that program around. And unless Denver shows me, or I'm sorry, San Diego shows me something, I can't put them ahead of the other two teams.
Yeah. Well, this is where it gets shaken up between me and you, because I like the Chargers. I wouldn't say like them. You know, the collapse was big. You know, it can either make a team or break a team. You know, they kept the coaching staff. They kept everything together. So I will give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, Herbert, his game is improving each year, so I can see growth. You know, but I will sit there. I will put the Broncos at number three, just because their coach is good. Their coach is good. You know, he has a good record of the quarterback that he's dealing with. You know, as far as Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, you know, the height is similar. You know, even though Russell can run a little bit, but has Russell, you know, lost what he had in Seattle? You understand what I'm saying? Just because of the way they play now, even during the preseason game this year, you know, week one they kind of started off sloppy looking. You understand what I'm saying? So is it something where Russell's going? Is this the year Russell gets in and you have a big head coach? Is he going to be the one who's going to bench him and bring somebody else in? So I really don't feel like Denver is better than the Chargers right now. So I will put Denver in that slot. Even though I got respect for Sean Payton, you know, what he did in New Orleans, you know what I mean, and beating up on the Panthers and all the accuracy balls that, you know, all the plays he, you know, how he draws it up, you know, but I just don't believe in Russell Wilson right now.
Yeah, that's one of the shaky parts about this team. But I think that Sean Payton will bring in a kind of an atmosphere, a work ethic that is going to change what we saw from last year out of Russell Wilson,
yeah.
Who 3,500 yards, 16 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. I just
and then Denver's in a predicament where, you know, you kind of have to back up what your coach is talking about in the media. You understand what I'm saying? Even though he was talking about the Jets and what they got going on. But now he's coming in from being on Fox and now being back in the coach's seat, you know what I mean, talking with the media about another coach. You got to understand how them players going to feel and them other teams going to feel, you know, trying to line up against them. You know what I mean? It's going to be a little bit more, you know, just to get at him and show him that, you know what I mean, Denver or you or your coaching scheme is not really that good. You know, so just, you know, Sean Payton, he's talking. Hopefully Russell Wilson can back him up and have a better year, but we're about to find out.
I tell you what, that whole beef between Denver and Jets, so I even forgot about the whole Sean Payton talking about he didn't want his players to be out of uniform, didn't want them this, and then Garrett Wilson shows up on TV with everything that he said, kind of poking the Bears. So I tell you what, that whole October 8th matchup in Denver is definitely going to be an interesting game. Mm-hmm. I would be shocked if there is not some kind of scuffle at some point in time in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I am thank my lucky stars that I no longer have to do all the extra stuff I have to do, and I can sit here all day long on Sunday and wait for this to happen.
Yeah.
I will have my phone pulled up, and I have Red Zone. I will have Red Zone pulled up so that I don't miss anything anywhere. I love Red Zone. So I get an opportunity to bounce around. The only thing, all things thinks is when my team plays, it's kind of a catch 22. Do I want to sit there and watch my team, or do I want to watch what's going on in the entire NFL? So if they do play Browns games here, because unfortunately Cincinnati overrules because I'm closer to Cincinnati, sometimes I got to have the Red Zone pulled up on the phone while I'm watching the game. Or vice versa. So, but anyway, all right. I went with this is where we changed. You had said you had Denver there. You had San Diego second. I had Denver second, more so the coaching change. I just think the atmosphere will change. I think that players, especially more so Russell Wilson, will be held more accountable. We've seen what he did in New Orleans. I think we'll see kind of the same results, same everything out of Denver that we saw in New Orleans. And I know I'm comparing apples and oranges. But once upon a time, Russell Wilson was starting to be looked at as one of the greatest quarterbacks. I might say greatest, but one of the a great quarterback. Kind of rescind the last season or so in Seattle. I think that was more of his complaining and everything. I think everybody had a bad taste in their mouth. And, of course, last year didn't help them. I think this is an opportunity. I think this is an opportunity for him to kind of set the record straight and rejuvenate everything. So I just like what we got coming out of Denver for second place. You got San Diego. Anything you want to throw in?
No. I would say I'll give the Chargers number two just because of their, you know, they still got defense and they still got their core of offensive players. You know what I mean? So, is it this year just about, is it the coaching staff that's the problem? Just because you being up 27 and coming back and losing, that obviously that has a lot more to do with coaching. You know what I mean? From plays, timeouts, or calls, or however the game may be. So they're willing to give their coaching staff another opportunity, and I want to see what they can do. But as far as overall, I think the Chargers have a better team than Denver.
And of course, we agree on the top spot. I think the West, the AFC, period. I think all of that goes through Kansas City until somebody can prove me that they can beat Kansas City. So, let's go to the South.
Yeah. Let's get the South out of the way.
I think the South is pretty much garbage. There's nothing about
it's the weakest.
I don't think there's anything about the South that says there's a threat for anybody making a AFC championship run or even a Super Bowl run. Like, I just don't see it. Mike Greene, whatever the hell his name is, said that he feels that Trevor Lawrence is going to be your MVP. I don't see that as well. I posted on my personal fan page, I think somebody needs to be drug tested. But I don't see it. I don't see anything out of Indianapolis. I think that, I mean, Matt Ryan was talking about how it's just a complete crapshoot out there. I don't think that Jacksonville is that good of a team, nor do I think Trevor Lawrence is that good of a player. Tennessee, you don't have Derrick Henry out there anymore, so you done lost that whole bit.
Derrick Henry's
so
still
that,
out there.
That, is he? I thought he went somewhere else. Maybe.
No, he's still out there.
I think Tennessee's your best bet.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's the MVP candidate. You know what I mean? But I'm really feeling what Jacksonville got going on as far as how they've been building since getting their head coach. You know what I mean? Just the momentum of what they got going. I just don't see it just turning off. You understand what I'm saying? Just from the climb that they didn't had the last 2 years. That's why I'm giving them, you know, more props than anyone in that division. I think the Titans, you know, I think they done got, you know, good. I wouldn't say lucky, but Derrick Henry, I don't think he can keep carrying them. You understand what I'm saying? And I don't think Tannehill is the answer. And I think their wide receivers are no good. You know, even though they brought in Hopkins, I just feel like, you know, they should have just paid A.J. Brown. You understand what I'm saying? Instead of letting him walk to Philadelphia, now you're paying somebody that's almost 10 years older than, you know what I mean, than the person that you just let go, and you're paying him the same. You're paying him a big contract too. You know, I think the Mike Vrabel thing is over.
So let's get our bottom team out the way first.
All right.
We got the Colts, we got Jacksonville, we got Houston, mm-hmm. and we got yep. Tennessee.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Colts. I think the Colts and their whole situation is the worst situation.
Okay.
I'm waiting to see how this rookie quarterback out of Florida, Anthony Richardson.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have
yeah.
him as high on my draft as you did.
Yeah.
I don't think Gardner Minshew is going to get you. It's been a feel-good story here and there. I don't think he gets you where you need to be. I just don't think the skill set is what the Colts need. You got some good receivers out there. Their run game, kind of on the slacking side. Jonathan Taylor, obviously a little bit older of a player. I don't know. There's nothing. And then also hearing the reports coming out, listening to Matt Ryan and talking about what it was like to be in Indianapolis, I think they got a lot of rebuilding, a lot of things that they need to redo to really be taken serious and be able to build a team that's going to at least take the South. And it's sad because I don't feel it takes much to win the South.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not. It's not. It's a coin flip. You know, honestly, it's a coin flip for me. You know, with the Colts and Texans. You know, with the Richardson situation, you know what I mean? They try to start him off on the right foot just because he went so high. He's here now. You understand what I'm saying? Go ahead. Let's see what you got. Hopefully you can come out and have a good scenario like Cam did in Carolina his rookie year. You know, does he have that potential? As far as looking at him, yes, he does. You know, but he does have flaws. But I'm gonna go ahead and say it's just a coin flip. Just to change it up, I would say the Texans just to change it up. But it's a coin flip, and I go with the Texans.
All right, this is where we're gonna flip because I'm gonna go with Houston as the next spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though I'm a Buckeye, I don't have all the confidence in the world. And it's sad to say, being a Buckeye, but none of our quarterbacks that have drafted have mounted really to be much. And a lot of them look good in college, but and it's the same way with Alabama. That's why none of the Alabama quarterbacks have really mounted. I think Hurts may be your exception, and I don't think he's a phenomenal quarterback. I just think he played under a coach that was good, had a great year, defense and other playmakers you got on that team, and also had to do with your schedule. But these big colleges like Ohio State and Alabama and Georgia, traditionally, you don't get good quarterbacks out of there because they're recruited. These quarterbacks are coming out of colleges that have the best offensive line that you can get in college football. Usually have, at some point while they're there, one of the best running backs in college football. And almost always they have one of the best receivers in college football. And you can think about these Alabama teams, you can think about these Ohio State teams, you can think about these Georgia teams. They've all had great receivers. So, of course, when you have the best offensive line to protect you against measly nobodies. And even if you go up against your Michigan's, Ohio State, or you go against your Wisconsin, you have the best help and protect your quarterback. They're going to look good. We're going to throw them to the best receivers that you could possibly get, all the five-star recruits. So it doesn't always and usually doesn't transition over into the NFL. I would be shocked if this is any different. One, I'm not a fan of rookie quarterback starting off anyway. I think that you need time to mature. The college, the NFL moves at a much faster pace. The schemes are different. You're talking the best of the best 32 teams. You're not talking about playing your Toledo's of Ohio or your Buchanan II Technical College of whatever. Yeah. Like, you're playing the best of the best. It's a whole different ball game, and I think that when you're drafted, you, especially the quarterback position, to take over a team and be the leader, you need a year or two to develop, to learn the system, to learn to be a leader, to learn these schemes. There's a lot of things. I could not imagine what they got to go through. And it's very rare anybody has ever had a successful rookie season. And if they are so lucky to have had a good rookie season, usually they fall flat after that. Because usually what happens is you have something, a gift that defenses of you that never seen before don't know how to read. Cam Newton was one of them that defenses didn't know how to adjust to him and how to defend against him. But once they did, his numbers got less and less. And you have other quarterbacks, the same Colin Kaepernick. I think that was one of the falls for him. He came out that first season with that running and everything. It was hard to guard him. But once the defenses learned how to adjust and made him rely on his arm and everything else, it shifted. And he wasn't so it wasn't so hard to defend against him. I hope things are different for C.J. Stroud. I don't see it. I think that the Houston organization is a little bit better placed than Colts, but I could be in the same boat as you and more so come up to a coin toss between these two teams.
Yeah, I agree. With the Colts, it's just different. With the Colts, like you say, it's a coin flip situation, but I just don't see Richardson doing a lot to say. He may say wow a couple of times, but it's just hard for me to sit there and believe that, especially what they got going on with the running back and owner, you know, don't want to pay. You know, it lingers around in the locker room. It lingers around in free agency. Because if you don't want to sit there and pay your best player, your best offensive player for the last 2 years, why do you think that I would want to be here? Because I know you're not going to pay me. You understand what I'm saying? So it's just a difficult situation, especially on the last year of my rookie deal. You know. So
now I'm really curious to see if our next two picks are the same. Or we're different on that as well. Because I think, honestly, I can see why they could go either way. I have a little bit more stronger feelings on why I'm going to go with who I'm going to say is going to win this division. And it's sad because who I'm going to pick second, I don't feel that in a lot of divisions they would even be able to finish second. But I think that because of the situation in Indianapolis and Houston makes them, by default, be the second-best team out of this division.
Okay.
And that's the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't think that they're just a phenomenal team. I think if you put them out in the AFC East, they're finishing third at best, probably not even third, as long as Tua stays healthy. I think if you put them out west, they're definitely right there with the Raiders. I think if you put them out in the north, they're behind at least both Ohio teams. But because they're in the south and because of the situation that's going on with Houston and the Colts, this to me is going to be the team that finishes second. I am not sold on the whole Trevor Lawrence thing. I have done pieces about Trevor Lawrence. Was calling ace and ace a spade his whole career in Clemson. He hardly played anybody. I mean, come on, you played in the ACC. There is not really no shots fired to the ACC because I know you're an ACC man, but college football-wise, mm-hmm. there's nothing really out there to talk about. We talk about college basketball. You guys got that on lock. But football-wise, mm-hmm. I mean, come on, who you beating up on? Boston College, Duke, UNC?
Yeah.
Every once in a blue moon, UNC has a decent season, not a championship contending team. Every once in a blue moon, Florida State has been around. But outside of that, mm-hmm. Clemson's kind of had free will because there's nobody out there. Then their non-conference games, I think their SEC games, they played nobody.
Mm-hmm.
They went, 1-1 against Alabama, and the one they won, their quarterbacks were hurt, so they played really a hurt team. And their win against Ohio State, it was based off one of the worst calls in Fiesta Bowl history. It was the only reason they got away with that win. So Trevor Lawrence has never really proven anything to me. So it blows my mind once that Mike Green is even calling for him to be the MVP. But two, I just don't see it. I don't see him leading this team to a championship. I would be beyond shocked if he leads this team to even the playoffs again, as obviously they did last year. Well, I'm only going to say that because, fortunate for them, they get to play Houston and they get to play the Colts twice. To me, that's four wins right there. Like, now, if you can't beat those teams all four times, then no, you don't even deserve to be in the playoffs. Like, you are given an opportunity. This was like when the Steelers were on the top of the North and both Ohio teams sucked. Like, if you couldn't beat Cincinnati and Cleveland all four of those games, you really had no business being in the playoffs anyway. That's kind of how I feel when it comes to Houston and Indianapolis right now. Like, if Jacksonville or Tennessee can't win all four of those games, then you really don't even belong in the playoffs, and you shouldn't even be considered in the championship game or a Super Bowl. But I got Jacksonville second.
All right. This is where we shake it up again, because I'm going Tennessee as a second. You know, I think the best thing they got going on right now is who is their second string quarterback. You know, because I think Tennessee and the head coach, you know, if anything go wrong, I think they're willing to put the quarterback that they just drafted in the game. You know, all he has to do is produce something during preseason. So I would say Tennessee.
Now, I got Tennessee in the top spot, not by mm-hmm. a big advantage. This is why I feel so weak. I just can't take Tannehill as a serious threat at the quarterback position. I'm not saying he's had a horrible career.
Exactly.
I'm not saying he's the worst quarterback in the world. But
he's
only thrown for 2,500 yards last. Yeah. So you're relying on Derrick Henry to produce week in and week out. You're counting on the fact that he don't get hurt.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, he's a beast.
Yeah, he's a beast. You know,
you got a lot of miles on those. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
8 years.
Yeah.
A lot of yards, a lot of miles, and Tannehill, 2,500 yards, 13 touchdowns. That's it, 13 touchdowns. That's why you only had you had one receiver even crack 500 yards. It was barely cracked 500 yards. So even though I have Tennessee above Jacksonville, it's not by this wide margin. But this is why the South, like, you're going to have a winner. There's no guarantee that the team that comes out of that division is even above 500 team.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much going to be a one and done out there. The North, I have a feeling our North's going to be all shook up. I got the Steelers. Yeah. I got the Steelers in the bottom spot. I think that organization has not turned around from the loss of losing Big Ben. Their quarterback situation, I don't understand why or how it's taken them so long to actually find a good quarterback or a great quarterback to replace. We're just so used to there being good quarterbacks in Pittsburgh. So it's really mind-blowing to me that I just don't feel Kenny Pickett from Pitt is the answer. And Mitch Trubisky, like you're relying on two subpar quarterbacks out of two subpar programs to lead one of the most decorated, most respected organizations. Even as a Browns fan, I hate the Steelers, but I have a lot of respect for what they do over there and how they win. And, you know, I'll tell anybody that the Steelers is an organization that don't go there and expect to get paid above everybody else. Go there to expect to get a nice check, but you're going there to play knowing that you're probably going to make it into a Super Bowl at least once in your career, and that you're playing for history. You're playing to play a part of history. You're playing for an organization, the Steel Curtain, an organization that has a lot of history, not so much one that's just going to pad your pockets and pay you this ridiculous amount of money. And I have a lot of respect for the Looney family and how they run their organization. I think if we would have ran our organization like that a long time ago, I think we would have a lot less issues than we have now. But it just blows my mind that here we are all these years after really the start of the decline of Big Ben, and they have yet found that quarterback. That quarterback's going to help lead them back to the top of the AFC North. It don't hurt my feelings none, being a Browns fan, because the longer the Steelers stay at the bottom, the better chance we have of making the playoffs. But I'm really honestly surprised. Who do you have coming out of the bottom of the North?
I also have the Steelers. I think the reason why is the quarterback situation. I still don't have faith in who they got. You know, as far as their scheme, I think Mike Tomlin, you know, the story about Mike Tomlin is keeping them afloat. You know, it'll keep a team, you know, hungry at the end. But I say the Steelers also.
Next, and I have a feeling we're going to be all jumbled up here. Next, okay. I have the Ravens.
Yeah, okay.
One, I have no confidence in Lamar Jackson's arm. One, every playoff he's disappeared. Two, he relies on his legs too much. I'm sorry, but I am a throw first, run second quarterback. I want a Tom Brady. I want a Peyton Manning. I want a Drew Brees. I want somebody that's going to try to live to see another down. I want a quarterback that's going to play for 20 years, not a quarterback that's going to run every given chance they got because they are not that accurate of a quarterback and takes their health into their own hands all the time. So, one, I don't count. His arm, his accuracy is a question to me, but two, also his health. We've seen that last year. I think we've seen that the year before. Your big fix to everything was to bring Odell Beckham into the whole picture, who also has his health concerns. He also has his ego concerns. Yes, the worst thing probably ever to happen to Odell Beckham is that phenomenal catch that he had when he did it over the Cowboys, because that seems to be the whole highlight of his career. And outside of that, he's had some good games, but that's been it. And so I just don't think there's enough pieces. I think that the North, you got to play Cincinnati. Now, this is also depending on how serious Joe Burrow's injury is, because it's vague. They're talking about a few weeks, maybe many weeks. It's kind of vague.
Yeah.
But you're talking about a team that's been to the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl, or Super Bowl twice. I can't remember what the Bengals have been to. So a team that's very legit, and a Browns team that is very hungry, that has been rebuilding for a few years now, and I think has finally got the right pieces. I don't think Jacksonville's got it. I think you had a quarterback that was worried about getting his pockets paid, and that's all he was concerned about. And they weren't able to focus on everything else they needed to focus on other than a receiver that couldn't even make it play the entire Super Bowl in his last game. It didn't even play but a partial of that season on top of that.
Yeah.
I have the Ravens in the third spot.
Yeah, I can see why the Ravens would be in your third spot. I could I put the Ravens at three? Yes, but I'm not. The only reason I just think that Cleveland is in that slot is because they haven't done anything compared to what Baltimore has done with Lamar Jackson being hurt in and out of lineup, whatever the case may be. I'm not going to take that away from Baltimore just because they still go to the playoffs and they're still in it. You know, if the Browns was at least competitive or in it, then yeah, you know, but so I have to see it first and then I'll go. I can't knock Baltimore for what they've did compared to Cleveland, and they haven't done really anything, you know, in a while. So that's the only reason why I'm picking Cleveland right there in that spot. But I do also like a throwing quarterback, too, just because, you know, get me the ball when I'm supposed to get there. You know, you see that whole throw with anticipation, and you know I'm getting there. You understand what I'm saying? If you see me while I'm open – and then you throw it, I'm going to be covered just because some cornerbacks and safeties are coming too. You know, you see a hole open, you know my route is in that window, go ahead and throw it. So when I turn my head and plant that foot, that ball is already there. You understand what I'm saying? So I can totally agree with the throwing quarterback. Just because running quarterbacks, they don't last long. You know, and once you get panicky, they're going to run. So I got Cleveland right there.
Well, if you have them there, I know you don't have Baltimore in the top spots. So that means our top spots are going to be different because in the two spot, and normally I don't do this. I let my team, and don't let that interfere. And I don't feel I'm going to interfere with this one.
Okay.
But I try to keep it. I actually try to be more critical of my team because my team, and I don't want to feel like, oh, that's your team. That's why you have them in that spot. But
yeah.
You got Mixon in the backfield that has too many issues. Seems like every time you turn around, he has a fumble in the football, he's got issues with the court. You got Joe Burrow and the concern of how serious this injury is that's happened in the preseason. The Bengals lost Kareem, or however you say his name, he's no longer with us. So you lost a significant backfield running back. It seems that the Browns have had the Bengals' number. I think last year either we lost one or both, but up to that point, we had won like the last five out of six games or six out of six games. So it seems that even with Burrow and even with that team on the rise, the Browns have been able to have that number. My reason for the Bengals being number two is really boils down to two things. One, how serious is Joe Burrow's injury?
Two, it has to do
more with what the Browns did in their offseason versus, I'm not going to say so much what the Bengals did or didn't do, but what the Browns did do. I'll talk about the Browns here in a second, but I got Cincinnati in the second spot.
All right. In the second spot, I got the Ravens. You know, even though Cincinnati with the quarterback situation is a big deal, you know what I mean, and them barely getting by each year, even though I feel like they could have beat the Rams in that Super Bowl maybe if things were a little different, but I would have to say the Ravens just because I think their quarterback situation is a little bit better in Cincinnati than it is in Baltimore.
Yeah, it would have been a little bit different. They might have beat the Rams if they didn't have Eli Apple out there trying to guard a receiver.
Yeah,
can't guard nobody. But anyway.
Yeah.
My top spot. I have the Cincinnati, or the, wow, yeah. I have the Cleveland Browns. One, you got Deshaun Watson now in his, he had a chance to play half the season last year in an offseason to get himself back into shape. He had an opportunity to get himself in rhythm and in sync with the receivers. He didn't have that opportunity. He was out for, what, a year and a half or years of change or whatever it was. So he was out of shape and never really got a chance to practice with the receivers before a certain time. So he was never in rhythm, never in sync. Yes, it hurt to lose Kareem Hunt. But we have the best running back in the entire NFL with Nick Chubb. I'm a fan of Felton, who will be his backup. He's also the, either the punt or kickoff returner. I think he's a punt returner. I like Felton. We added Elijah Turner. I liked him. I got an opportunity to see him the other night play. I hate watching preseason games. I hate one of those four preseason games. Because your starters play maybe two quarters out of four games, and then you're stuck watching a bunch of third, fourth, fifth string players that are never going to play. So you kind of get a false hope. But we did see Elijah Turner play for the Jets last year. We knew what we was getting. That's why we went out and brought him into Cleveland. You throw him in there with Amari Cooper. You throw him in there with Njoku, Caldwell Pope, I call him the People's Champ, People's whatever his name is. I like our receiving core. Of course, return of Myles Garrett. We also signed Denzel Ward and company back there. We added some pieces. All around, the Browns have worked hard to improve everything. Because honestly, I think we got one or two good years. And so I think that the Browns have gone all in to try to make sure this is their year. I don't know, remember how many more years is left on the contract. With John's locked in for a few more years. But I know Amari Cooper, this is last year. And I'm not sure how many more years Chubb has got. I don't think Chubb's going anywhere. But we know we are on a time frame with our contracts. And so the way that everything was structured, this is the perfect time to go all in to try to bring a championship home for the Cleveland Browns. I like everything they have done this offseason. I like how the schedule lays out for the Cleveland Browns. I love the fact that we start the season off with Cleveland, or with Cincinnati. We are at home. I feel very confident. One, I felt confident in the first place, but I feel even more confident knowing that Burrow is probably not going to play. And then we go and we play the Steelers. It's a Sunday, either Sunday night or Monday night, the 8:15 game. So we're going to play a team that is probably the worst team in the division. So now you start picking up momentum. You start picking up rhythm. Mm-hmm. You start picking up confidence. I like how this is going to look for the Cleveland Browns. I think that they take the AFC North, and I have not been able to say that in a very long time, but I feel very confident that the Browns will do what they got to do to win the North this year.
All right, okay. That sounds very tempting, you know, and it sounds very believable. You know, it all depends what Watson is going to do. Y'all definitely added some good core pieces and stuff like that. The only reason why Cincinnati is up there is just because of what they did the last couple years, you know. But the quarterback situation is tough. If he's not going to play, it definitely is a real game changer. So I picked the Ravens. Now I'm picking Cincinnati, but it's definitely going to be a fight for that, for the winner of that division.
All right, before we jump out here, let them know where they can find Carolina Sports Plus, what you got going on coming up, and
all right, okay.
Anything else you want to throw out there real quick?
All right, you can check us out online at CarolinaSportsPlus.com. You can like us on Facebook and Instagram at Carolina Sports Plus. We got a lot of good things going. We'll be a vendor at the Cumberland County Fair from September 1st through the 10th. So if you're around Fayetteville, please come check us out. We got Angel Munoz fighting in September the 9th in South Carolina. He's currently 3-0 with 3 knockouts out of Burgess Boxing Gym in Spring Lake. Munoz is currently training away from camp in L.A., so he got a lot of good things going on, but his fight is in September 9th in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Don't forget, you guys can check out the website, www.the110nationsportsradionetwork.com. It has our blog, that has our shows, marketing partners, schedules, all that kind of stuff. You guys can catch the shows. We got added to Amazon Music and Audibles this week. So we're on Amazon, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, Google Podcasts, Podchasers. Really, any major platform we are on, so make sure you check that out. Don't forget, Monday, we got a new show, the 110 Nation Race Chat Live exclusive. We'll be sitting down with drivers, promoters, crew members. It's about a 30-minute long show, and it's just an opportunity for us to introduce you to these different athletes and these athletes to our followers, our listeners. Looking forward to that. Landon Lewis, who has a resume mile long, will be our first driver on this Monday night. Show kicks off at 8 o'clock. Don't forget, you guys can catch Race Chat Live every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. And then, of course, we'll be back here next Wednesday night, 8 p.m. We'll be talking NFC. More updates on this whole Michael Oher, however you say his last name, and what's developed out of there, and give our thoughts and opinions, and, of course, any other big headlines as we lead into the NFL and college football season. Make sure you guys like us on Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports, and make sure you guys check us out on, I guess, X now, not Twitter, at 110 Nation. That's just so weird to say. And on Instagram. We're on Instagram as well. Oh, make sure you guys subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. We got videos on there. We'll be having more videos. Now that my schedule's freed up, there'll be a lot more stuff and a lot more content over there. So make sure you guys check that out as well. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Glad to be back in here in the Carolina Sports Plus studio. I want to thank Mario for joining me, Carolina Sports Plus, for being part of all this. And I'll see y'all and talk to y'all next week.